This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Gave us a Rose Bowl. They had Ohio State winning and a goodbye Urban Meyer. And I don't know if I should feel good about that. I mean, it was all creepy over the summer, and I don't know if I really like him. But you know what? He went out, and he won the Rose Bowl, and good for him, and he passes along to Ryan Day. And then Texas, you're back, right? You beat Georgia. And not only did you beat Georgia, you dominated Georgia. And is this a win to build something on, or is this a win that, you know, is great and nice but doesn't lead to anything? We'll not know. We'll wait to see down the road, right? You've also gave us LSU beating UCF, and you've got the counter argument to the argument of whether or not UCF is one of those power programs that deserve to be in the conversation all along, or were they just one of those teams that when, you know, push came to shove and they would play a really tough SEC team, they would lose, even though they didn't have their star quarterback, right? So that we had all of this fun yesterday. But the reality of it is college football, you wanted what you're going to get Monday, which is the national championship. That's what we've all wanted this whole time. So while New Year's Day is traditionally fun, and we've had a lot of good times with the Rose Bowl over the years and the Sugar Bowl over the years, right? Fiesta Bowl over the years and a lot of great memories, what those days are turning into doesn't translate to what we've wanted all along. And what we've wanted all along is a championship game, a playoff that leads to a championship game. So fun, New Year's Day, great. I had a good time watching the games. I had a good time doing all of the analysis in my head of the games, right? Watching UCF and like being impressed with them at times. And then, you know what? They're kind of getting manhandled here by LSU. Oh, and they're also playing without their star quarterback and they're staying in this football game. And I also watched Texas, and I'm glad to see Texas is coming back. And I'm glad to see Texas is getting their 10th win, which they haven't done since 2009 when they played for a national championship. And I like the fact that the conversation also led to the Bulldogs. Were they not really in it? Was their heart not really in it? But the reality of it is, if you are screaming and screaming and screaming, and what you've wanted this whole time is a national championship playoff, well, Monday matters. Yesterday was just for show and fun, but Monday matters. Clemson and Alabama. Tony D, Ron Culver, this is SB Nation AM on a Wednesday on SB Nation Radio.
If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to GiftingNap.com. The team at GiftingNap has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit GiftingNap.com today. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So there are you, Ron Culver. Long time no talk. Glad you're back from vacation this Christmas holiday season.
Yes. It's good to be back.
Good. Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's always good, especially when there's so much going on and I keep taking notes like, oh, I got to get to that, I got to get to that, I got to get to that.
Well, it's not only that. Every time I take vacation, I get sick. So
Yeah, me too.
I'm not going to take vacation anymore.
I know, right?
Just got to roll with what, I just work 24/7 now.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's what happens to me now. I get sick. My kids get sick. I get sick somewhere along the line. I mean, it's just crazy. And so, yeah, and I'm taking longer to recover. I used to bounce right back from this stuff. Now it's like, oh, 2 or 3 days. I'm just like laying in bed.
Doesn't that suck? That's age.
Stinks. Age. It's totally, it is. It's crazy. It's crazy. And the worst is I was at my parents for Christmas, and it just, I have to like, I can't be with people. I can't you know, I have to go in the bedroom and lay down for hours and hours on end.
Which could be a good thing, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not too bad.
Avoiding family, avoiding the normal talk.
Yeah. So UCF losing yesterday.
What a bummer. Didn't see that one coming.
I know, right? What a bummer. You know what? And I kept saying to myself, like, because all the whole game, everybody wanted to make this big referendum, like, well, if LSU wins, does that... And I'm like, how can you make a statement on UCF without Mackenzie Milton? How in the world can you make any assessment whatsoever? There are teams out there, if they lose their star quarterback, they're done, right? The fact that UCF competed with LSU, I have two sides on the coin here. On the one side, I want to say, well done without your star quarterback against an LSU team that's pretty good defensively. But on the other hand, I want to say, well, you know what? At the same time, if you're one of the power schools that you've been saying you are, you're supposed to overcome something like that, and you're not supposed to get my sympathy. You're not supposed to get the sympathy angle. You're supposed to be, yeah, you know what? We blew it. We had a chance. We didn't take advantage of it. Milton or no Milton, you know what? We should have won this game. We didn't win this game, and, you know, that's on us. So on the one hand, I want to be sympathetic to the fact that they lost their star quarterback and played LSU without him. But on the other hand, I'm like, meh, you know, like if you belong, you belong. And if you don't, you don't. But good for them. 25 game win streak snapped. And I know the haters are going to pour on them like you wouldn't believe. The one thing that I did notice in the game, though, yesterday, and even the announcers kind of brought it up. There were times where LSU's line was just so physically imposing, like that, you know, the running game didn't work for UCF. And that goes back to the conversation about them that we've had all year, which is, look, you are what you are. Your conference is what your conference is. But if I take you and put you in the SEC or put you in the Big 12 or put you in the Big 10, where would you be? Like, would you be undefeated? Would you be a two-loss team? Would you be a one-loss team that's really good? What's the evaluation? And I'm wondering, week in and week out, could they hold up against an SEC offensive lines and defensive lines that these other schools have to? You know, in the Big 12, you don't have to worry about defense, so you can just throw the ball all over the place. But, you know, there's a physicality to SEC football, and they played Auburn last year and played them really well and won, and they played LSU pretty good. And even though they came up short, you know, showed some flashes, but they were outgained by over 250 yards in that game. And that means that your offense and defensive lines were getting pushed around. And so week in and week out, I don't look at UCF and say, oh, no, that's a team that could play in any conference, anytime, anywhere. Over time, maybe, but not the team I saw yesterday. The other thing I wanted to get to is the conversation that I started with the show, which is the New Year's Day tradition of bowl games. I love them. I mean, that's one of the reasons I was a college football fan as a kid growing up in an area that didn't have any college football in New Hampshire, because New Year's Day, I should say, was so special, right? The Rose Bowl and all the bowl games that were around it. And the college football playoff is the thing now, right? So the bowl games, the New Year's Eve bowl games, are really just for entertainment purposes. Now, we used to have a time where we used to take those games and evaluate them. Right. Well, the SEC is doing this well, and the ACC is struggling here, and the Big Ten teams are not showed up or showed up. And we used to make these conversations, and those conversations are harder to do now because teams are going into these bowl games, especially New Year's Day bowl games that don't have any implication on the playoff. And they're going into these bowl games and they're saying, you know what? I don't want to play. So I'm missing five guys or I'm missing three guys. And that's tough to do the evaluation for.
Right. When I was watching Texas-Georgia yesterday, I couldn't help but feel like, you know, is Georgia just kind of taking it off?
No doubt. Absolutely.
And that was the problem. I was like, I want to give Texas credit for playing well. I mean, they certainly played well, and they did a great job, and everything seemed to be going right for them. But at the same time, it's like, God, this doesn't seem like the same Georgia team that played, you know, Alabama in the SEC championship game.
No, and that's a funny thing because the SEC gets this rap all the time. You don't have to go back that far. Go back to Alabama after they lost to Auburn in the kick six, and they played Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl, and they didn't want to be there at all. They were the number one team in the country, and now they're playing in the Sugar Bowl, and they're not, you know, what do you want to do? And Oklahoma beat them. Trevor Knight threw touchdown passes all over them, and every Alabama fan said, well, this is, you know, what do you want them to do? They didn't want to be there. And Oklahoma was like, no, we beat, you know, one of the best teams in the nation. And Alabama fans were like, no, not really. Because if we really wanted to show up, we would have won the game. Well, that's a hard conversation to have. Because if you have one side that is on the side of we our heart wasn't in it, and you have one side that is trying to take something valuable away from that victory, like Texas is going to do, boy, that becomes a hard thing to dissect. But there's no doubt, if you've watched Georgia at all, I mean, you didn't have to watch him very much, that team was not the same. It was not the same Bulldogs team at all.
And
Texas, God bless them. I mean, 10 wins is 10 wins, and you have to go back 10 years for that.
That's good for the program. Good and for it's Matthew great for the McConaughey. Program.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was running up and down. ESPN had a love affair with him yesterday.
My oh, I know. God. Totally. Totally. You get Texas in the spotlight, McConaughey shows up, right? I mean, all the time. So, you know, Sam Ellinger goes on the stage and he's like, we're back, and everybody goes crazy. And that may be true, but it also may not be true. We'll see, right? We'll see.
It's definitely a wait and see game. You can't make a decision based off of one thing.
No kidding. Yeah. So,
I mean, they've played well throughout the season. They've had the look like, okay, you know what? It's almost like they're at the edge of that cliff and they're ready to jump, but they got shy and they weren't ready to jump completely off that cliff yet. I can't say that yesterday's win was, oh, man, they took the plunge.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I don't believe in them that much yet. I want them to be back. I want a conference to step up.
Yeah, I do, and I want Texas to be good. I think college football is great when Texas is good. Texas brings in all sorts of storylines when it comes to recruiting and how good they are and everything like that. I think college football has missed them the last 10 years, and it would be good to see them back on national prominence. But again, I'm with you. I don't know yet because, and I hate to say this, Longhorn fans, the Georgia argument is real. The Georgia argument is real. Now, no disrespect to Texas. This was not a close football game, right? This was 28-21, but it wasn't close. Texas never trailed. They dominated. They ran the ball great. Ellinger's great. And they brought the house on Jake Fromm. I mean, he was pressured all night. But I can't buy it yet. I can't buy it yet. Let's give it some time to breathe. Let's give it some room. And maybe this is the springboard to everything, and maybe this is the springboard to nothing. I'll wait and see.
Your telltale sign was yesterday during the game. I mean, what it was 17-0 before midway through the second quarter.
Yeah.
And Texas, I mean, it almost felt like George in the second half said, "All right, you know what, we're here. Let's play. Let's show up a little bit, and let's try to make a game out of it." And I mean, it was like Texas couldn't really do anything when Georgia decided. It almost looked like Georgia decided to play at some point and was slowly starting to push Texas around a little bit and just stop Texas. They couldn't. I mean, Georgia's offense didn't want to play. Definitely were already like, no, we're looking to draft. We're looking to next season. Let's just pack our things and go home. But you could see that, okay, you know what, Georgia at any time, really, if they wanted to play and they really wanted to win, they could turn this whole thing around and just dominate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you had
absolutely.
That feeling the entire time you're watching the game, like, God, just something doesn't feel right. But, hey, you know what, Texas, you got to win.
800-777-2907 is the telephone number. We'll talk more about the bowl games. We'll get into the NFL playoff picture. Alabama and Clemson playing for the national title. I'll tell you one of the reasons that college football does have a problem with its playoff because of all the arguments that we had after those two semifinal games. That is coming up next. It's SB Nation AM with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation AM rolling along on a Wednesday, the day after New Year's Eve. Hope your New Year's Day and New Year's Eve were a blast and hope they were safe. By the way, did you celebrate New Year's Eve? Were you still sick during that?
Oh, no. Our,
you were done by that?
We had the stomach flu starting Christmas Eve, and
it was
literally a 24 to 48 hour thing. But it ran through the entire family. That was the crazy thing. My middle son came down with it, Friday night, Saturday morning before Christmas.
Right.
And then it just ran through the family like Sherman marching on Georgia. It was not even pretty.
You know, New Year's Eve in my house, we do this, we do like every year we do a hors d'oeuvres, like appetizer dinner. So we just buy a bunch of like mozzarella sticks and just crap. And then we cook them all up and that's what we do. And this year, everyone was like, ugh, it's kind of sick. So I ruined the fun.
You know what? I kept telling everyone, I said, you know what? Hey, my buddy Tony, my partner Tony, this is what he's done on New Year's Eve. It's something we've never even thought of doing, never even tried. That's what we did this year. We did.
Oh, did you like it?
Yes, it's fantastic.
It's fantastic, perfect. Isn't it?
God, it was great. I mean, we have way too much food. That was the one thing I didn't realize we were going to just have. You know, we ended up like towards the end of the night. It's like, mozzarella sticks don't save. You got to throw those out.
Yeah, right. Oh, no.
But it was, I mean, we had chicken fingers or chicken wings. We had, you know, chips and dip and vegetables and mozzarella sticks and, you know, little pigs in a blanket. I mean, we had a whole spread going on. I was like, God, this is. And the greatest thing about it is you don't feel full. Because I think that's always a big deal. Like traditionally we would always have like a New Year's Eve dinner, and then by the time you're done, you're just like, oh, I just want to watch a movie. I just want to pass out. I don't really feel like being up. So it was I love the idea. Thank you so much.
I'm glad that worked out for you. But yeah, this year was so down because normally we pig out and everybody laughs and we have a good time. And everyone was like, not feeling too good. So
well, see, what made it great,
I was glad to give everybody the illness.
Yeah, what made it great was that in Texas, especially where we are, you can light fireworks. I don't know if that's true where you are. I know growing up in Southern California, you can't even come within 5 feet of lighting your own firework or you're going to jail.
People here in Nashville light up fireworks for just like hanging out. Like just like, oh, I'm having a family reunion. Pop, pop, pop.
That made it even better because you can grab some food and let's go outside and just, try to set the neighborhood on fire, then go back inside. And every single year, we're keeping a New Year's tradition because it's all the neighbors. We all just get out and go into the street and just light fireworks. Last year, one of the neighbors lit a firework. The wind blew it over, and it started shooting out towards everyone. It was literally everyone was ducking and hiding behind cars. It was fantastic.
You see
this
great
mob of people. And we kept the tradition alive this year. Another firework fell over and started shooting towards someone's house.
That's great.
He came over and he was feeling bad. He was apologizing to our neighbor. I'm like, dude, it's like, it's tradition.
No, of course. You got to keep it going. Absolutely. Absolutely. God, that's amazing. That is fantastic.
Try to blow something up. It's great.
So we had the college football semifinals over the weekend. And, you know, one of the problems that I have with this, and I'll tell you what was driving me crazy in the post analysis of both the Clemson blowout over Notre Dame and in a sense, and I don't want to say blowout because Oklahoma really made a comeback in their game against Alabama, but they never got it within single digits. It was just 11. So naturally the conversation was at that moment, okay, the committee, Notre Dame wasn't as good as we thought. UCF should have been right there. And oh boy, maybe Oklahoma wasn't the team. Alabama played Georgia and that was a better game. And Georgia should have gotten that spot. You know what the problem with the college football playoff thing is this. And guys, it's all of us, fans and media. It's all of us. We have to decide what we want from this playoff because you're getting one or the other, but you're not getting both. Let me give you an example. In the NBA, in the Major League Baseball, the NFL, there's a path to the playoff. Okay. And we all accept the path to the playoff. If we don't like it, we may want the league to change it, but there's a path. Right? You can be a 10-6 team in the NFL and miss the playoffs, and somebody else in another conference can be 7-9 and make the playoffs. You can be an 8-8 division winner and go to the playoffs, and a 10-6 wildcard team could miss the playoffs. That's the path to the playoff. Win your division or be one of these teams. Major League Baseball the same way. Win your division or be one of these teams. And that's how it works. And if you're not, you're not. And that's just the way it goes. And you can't scream unfairness or this is not how it's supposed to be all you want. But the reality of it is the path leads you there. So if you don't win your division and you don't win enough games to win the wild card spot based on tiebreakers and everything else, you don't get to go. And that's it. And that's it. That's too bad. And somebody else with a lesser record may get to go because they're in a different conference or the circumstances for them is different. But the path is there. You got to follow the path. College football has no path. None. We don't know what the committee wants, and we don't know what the committee thinks. So Notre Dame goes 12-0, and they don't play in a conference, right? And everybody goes, Well, are they good? Are they look at the competition. They didn't live up to the standards that, you know, we thought. Like Florida State wasn't as good and USC wasn't as good and all these, you know, some Virginia Tech wasn't as good, right? But the committee goes, no, they're fine. They're good. They went undefeated. They don't have to play in a conference. They don't have to play a conference championship game. They're in. Why? What was their path? Because they went undefeated? UCF went undefeated. So what's the path? What's the road to the playoff? There isn't one, right? It's the same thing between deciding Oklahoma and Georgia. Georgia gave Alabama everything they could handle. That's the toughest test Alabama's had all year, right? Oklahoma didn't give them that. They gave them a scare maybe at the end, but that was it, really. Okay, so when we evaluate it, what was Oklahoma's path to the championship over Georgia's? There isn't any. So when people say this playoff has to be expanded now, we have to go to eight teams. Look at all the good teams that we're missing out of it. Boy, Florida just impressed everybody by beating a Michigan team that was depleted because kids didn't want to play. But nevertheless, what about Florida? Why aren't they in this thing? And the Knights of UCF has got to be in this too. And look at all these other teams. We're just missing out on so much good football. But it's going to be useless unless you have a path. How do you get there? Do you want to do the committee thing? Because if you want to do the committee thing, let me just tell you something right now. All of you hate on Notre Dame, and you can hate on them until the cows come home. They ever go 12-0 again, they're getting in. All right? You can scream and yell, and Brian Kelly does it. On the big stage, Notre Dame falls apart. You can do it till the cows come home. It's not going to matter one bit. Notre Dame goes undefeated, they're getting in. Because they're not UCF. Right? They're not Boise State. They're not these. Not, they are Notre Dame, and that's just the way it is. But if you set a path, if you say, look, guys, if in order to get in this, you have to win your conference championship. And if you win your conference championship at 7-4 or whatever, that's just the way it goes. Sorry. That's just the way it goes. Okay, great. At least we have a path. But if the path is going to be, we're going to just evaluate everybody on their own individual merits, and we'll just come up with our own solution and come up with our own method, and we won't tell you what we're talking about, but we'll at least give you an idea of some hints, and here's our choice, right? Then you're going to get screaming and hollering at the end of every one of these things. Notre Dame didn't show up at all against Clemson, and maybe they were exposed. But this is Monday morning quarterbacking, and it's called that for a reason. Because in hindsight, those who are screaming about Notre Dame not belonging missed the bigger point, right? The bigger point was Notre Dame was not going to get punished because Florida State stunk. They were not going to get punished because USC wasn't the USC we thought they were at the beginning of the season. And the same thing with Virginia Tech, and maybe for some extent Stanford, right? Notre Dame had a schedule that included Michigan, Florida State, USC, Virginia Tech, Stanford. They had top 25 teams on their schedule at the beginning of the year. And they some of those teams didn't show up in 2018. So the committee wasn't going to punish them for a weak schedule. Those of you who say it was a weak schedule, yeah, it's a weak schedule in hindsight, but it wasn't what it was when Notre Dame made it. How is Notre Dame, who plays Florida State every year, supposed to go, well, you know, the Seminoles probably aren't going to be good. They're probably going to miss a bowl game for the first time in forever in 2018. We better be wary of that schedule. They just go, well, what do you want us to do? Same thing with USC. They play them all the time. USC, wasn't USC worthy. But they went undefeated, and even though they didn't look the part, and I agree with everybody who says that, this is what the committee does. You went unbeaten, you're Notre Dame, you're in. If that's the path you want, that's the path we're going. But if you want something different, you can't have both. It's possible that if you create a system where it's conference champions, and then maybe some at-larges, you may not get the best eight teams in. Right? You may not get the best six teams in if you want to do that thing with the bye. You just may not. Right? There's some good NFL teams that don't make the playoffs. There's some good Major League Baseball teams that don't make the playoffs. But the path is clear and we follow it as fans, except in college football where we demand that everyone from 1 through 8 be unequivocally the best of the best of the best. And we can never decide on that. So it's one or the other, folks. We got to take a choice, a clear path or an ambiguous path, but we're not getting both in college football. 800-777-2907. Tony D, Ron Culver, it's SB Nation AM.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and spell Ron with two N's, please. All right, Ron, you also brought up a point about the argument about, oh, maybe we shouldn't even need an expanded playoff thanks to these blowouts.
Why do we need an expanded playoff? I think that's the dumbest argument just because we had two blowout games.
Right. I agree.
It's like, yes, we still need an expanded playoff just because we had two blowout games that clearly show who the top two teams are in the country. I mean, that's not going to happen every single year. And we still need, you know, maybe if we had six games or if we had eight or six teams or if we had eight teams. In the playoff, maybe Alabama would have been challenged more by someone, I don't know, maybe coming from the Pac-12. We don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know,
but I'd hate the argument of just because we had two games, you know, let's face it, I mean, the playoff games on Saturday, they weren't that good.
No, they weren't.
They were
not
just
at all.
Like, oh, man, this, you know, this isn't what I signed up for. I mean, I was pulling for, I wanted to see Alabama versus Notre Dame. I thought the committee would want Alabama versus Notre Dame.
Yeah, I did too. I'm with you. I thought I was kind of pulling for that, and I was kind of, you know, look. But here's my thing. I don't understand why people why do we look at college football and we want it so different than the other sports, right? I mean, do we care if the Super Bowl champion went 10-6?
No.
Like if the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, do we go, oh well, maybe we should eliminate all these wild card teams and make sure just maybe the Chiefs and the Saints
right to the title. I mean, if you go in NFL right now, we want the Eagles to win the Super Bowl because we want to say, okay,
Nick Foles is already etching himself into the history books of the NFL. Right. I mean, in the NCAA tournament, it's the same thing. We don't want chalk all, you know, we don't want a Final Four of all number one seeds. We want a mixture. We want a little bit of a surprise. We want a little bit of a Cinderella story. Sure, we want some blue bloods in there for entertainment because matchup versus matchup. But the reality of it is we want a potpourri. But in college football, people lose their minds over, no, it has to be the best of the best of the best. It's the only way I can survive. Like, look, so what if the semifinal games are blowouts? You know how many NFC and AFC championship weekends I sat through where the game stunk?
Oh, God.
I mean, of course that happens. That's the nature of the beast. And you know what? You know what it reminds? Listen, let me take you back a little bit. Remember when we had the dream team in basketball? And a lot of people don't know this. And I'm going to tell you. When the United States, when the Olympic Committee wanted professionals to play in the Olympics, there was one country that said no, and that was the United States. People think the United States wanted this, and they pushed it on the world. No, the world pushed it on us, right? The United States told the world, you don't want this, because if you do, it's going to be a mess. You don't want this. And the world said, we'll catch up. If you keep sending your best to the Olympics, we'll catch up. Now, it hasn't really worked out that way because there really isn't a power to the United States. When the United States is on, it's on. And, you know, all the years that they didn't win the gold, you could kind of point to dysfunction and whatnot. But the reality of it is the world got better, right? And the world got better because it had to get better. You want better semifinal games. It starts a recruiting. You got to get recruiting across the board. Schools need to start stepping up. You know, if you want Clemson and Alabama every year, you know what? Don't expand the playoff. But if you put them through tougher and tougher games, you're going to get a more variety of teams. It's not going to be Alabama and Clemson every single year if it's an eight-team playoff. It just isn't. There's going to be teams that are in it. Recruiting is going to get a lot better. Kids are going to go to different kind of places where they feel like they can get into the playoff, and you're going to see a better result. You're absolutely right. You got to keep it expanded. If the entertainment value suffers a little bit, it suffers a little bit, but the process is good. I don't understand this with college. I mean, it just drives me nuts when people are screaming that, you know, no, they don't deserve in. They deserve in. This was bad. Just let it be. Just let it be a playoff and just enjoy it like you enjoy any other playoff. You don't scream to high heaven when the NFL games stink. You don't scream to high heaven when Golden State runs through the end. You don't say, we got to change the whole playoff system because Golden State lost one game en route to a championship. No, you say to the NBA, hopefully you'll find teams that will get better to challenge this, but the method, the system is fine. But no, in college football, we get Alabama Clemson and it's ho. We got to, let's halt the process here. I don't want eight teams. Yeah, you do. Come on, you do.
You do want eight teams.
Of course you do.
Or six. It doesn't really matter. Just put a little bit more out there.
Your entertainment value is more important than making this grow a little bit? Come on, guys.
Yeah, it might be Alabama Clemson for the first couple of times, but it's not going to be that way all the time. Plus, we won't have to sit through what we saw last night. Where we sat through yesterday. You can make all those New Year's Eve bowls relevant.
Relevant. They're not relevant. That was my point at the start of the show.
New Year's Day bowls, I should say.
The New Year's Day bowls were fun, and they were great, and we have talking points for a lot of them. But the reality of it is, all of those teams are now going back to schools, bowl winners or bowl losers, but there's no ramification of it whatsoever. And New Year's Day, for a lot of you who are old enough to remember, New Year's Day was the shifting point, right? All of the big schools played, and at the end of it all, the AP would go, here's our bowl, and the coaches would go, here's our poll, and national championships were named. That's how it worked. But now the New Year's Day has been pushed aside. It's now, you know, these yeah. big games that are important, but they carry no value. Yeah, if they carried some value, great. What's wrong with that?
And it used to be way back, if we go in the way back machine as well, it used to be a showcase for future NFL talent. Now you have, you know, bona fide NFL stars saying, oh, I'm not going to play.
Oh, DeAndre Baker's a perfect example of Georgia. Yeah, he was going to play, and then he said, nah, I'm done.
I don't need to showcase my talents. I got tape. I got
plenty of tape.
And I'm going to save myself for the combine.
Yeah, and that becomes, and again, you go back to the New Year's bowl games and the analysis. All right, well, how do I evaluate Team A versus Team B if I know Team B was missing key guys? Right? Listen, I thought Florida was fantastic against Michigan. Fantastic. But Michigan was missing a lot of guys on defense. I mean, that's a deal. That's a thing to consider. Right? I mean, look, how do I process that? How do I say, you know, that like UCF, the example of UCF, how do I say UCF, oh, well, they're done when their star quarterback is in a cast, right? The star, not just the guy that is like a game manager. He's like the star quarterback is on the sidelines in a cast. And I'm supposed to tell UCF that they're irrelevant, that they don't matter. Like, how do I do that? I can't. These things matter. The nuances of these games, who played, who didn't play. We talked about it with Georgia. It didn't look like the same team. And maybe it's human nature when you're playing an SEC championship and that game is right there and everything you want is right there and you let it go. I'm sorry, Texas. I know Texas fans, you don't want to hear it, but I'm sure Georgia just didn't go, let's get Texas. You guys wanted it a lot more than Georgia did.
And they played more of their stars.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, to this example, if Alabama didn't make the playoff, there's no way we would have seen any sort of brilliance out of Tua Tagovailoa.
Yep.
I mean, he's coming off an ankle. He had surgery on, 3 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, to be young again, to be able to heal that fast.
Heal that quickly.
God, I hurt my hamstring before Thanksgiving, and it still bothers me.
Oh, no kidding.
And I didn't even do anything. Kidding. I just heard a pop. And it still, I mean, God.
Still hurts.
Old sucks. But, I mean, that's the thing we're talking about here is, you know, if you put relevance to all these games, where all these games matter, then you're going to actually see the college football that we came to love during the fall.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, again, it's a sport that is different from every other because we haven't been given from the powers that be a way, a clear-cut way of defining a national champion. It's part, like, the debate is part of the college football world. Okay, that's fine, but when you make the shift, when you make the transition, you got to get rid of that. Like there's no, like, look at the, you know, like, bring back the NFL, right? Nobody's arguing who's in the playoffs.
Nope.
In the NFL. Nobody is saying, well, that team's not very good, or that team lost in week five, and I've mentally not gotten over it. Every team knew what it had to do to get in. Just for some, it was, you know what? Win the last five games of the season. Okay, great. But for others, it was hang on for dear life and hope for the best.
Not only that, but we could have... There was a plan in place, had, you know, for the final regular season game, Colts, Titans.
Right.
Had those two teams tied, there was a plan in place to have another team slide into that sixth spot with the Steelers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, it was never going to happen, but I mean, almost to that extreme that if, like, you know, for some bizarre reason, the Colts and Titans just couldn't, no one wanted to win that game, and they just ended up in a tie. Then it's like, all right, well, we know who the sixth seed is. We can't argue it.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
And if the answer is conference champions in, then either say regular season champions or championship game champions. Take your pick. Probably championship game champions. That's more defined. Great, but at least you know. And if a 7-4 team or 7-5 team is in there, that's what happens.
It's in.
That I'm sorry, that's what happens. And if a 10-1 team or 11-1 team, whatever it is, if they're out, they're out.
What was it? Almost like 5 years ago now when the Seahawks, who were 6-8,
yes,
or no, 7-9, where were
7-9,
they?
7-9 made the playoffs.
7-9 hosted a playoff game,
right?
Hosted.
The teams that were double digit wins didn't scream and holler and say this is unfair. It's unfair. I mean, every year, college football, it's unfair. It's unfair. Well, then find a path that's fair and fix the problem. Because I was defending. I don't like Notre Dame, and I was defending them all weekend from the barrage of people that were raining hate on them, saying, guys, it's not a Notre Dame problem. It's a college football problem. And I was trying to explain to people, there is no world that exists either here or in the multi-universe. Trust me. That Notre Dame undefeated is kept out of this playoff. It's never, ever, ever going to happen. I don't think people realize what a powerful entity Notre Dame is. It's not the same lust. Yeah, I get it, but they are a powerful entity and they're getting in if they get undefeated. So fix the problem. The idea that all of the committee got, okay, the committee didn't get it wrong. They got it wrong after the fact, which is where you are and where they were saying that a 12-0 Notre Dame team belonged, right? You get the benefit of watching them lose to Clemson and pretend like you're on the committee. So there you go. College football can fix this. It can absolutely fix this. It just needs a clear path. All right, 800-777-2907, SB Nation AM, Tony D and Ron Culver.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
By the way, did you see the video of the Longhorn Bevo going after Uga at the Sugar Bowl yesterday?
Yeah.
That was great. How did Bevo know that Uga was something that if he attacked would get all sorts of national, worldwide publicity?
Bevo knows. There was a Bevo
whisper.
Like,
that little dog.
Bevo whisper was standing right next to him. It's like, hey, see that? See the little pup?
Yeah. I love how they bring live animals to this stuff. Like Ralphie from Colorado.
We need more of that.
We need more live animals.
Does LSU still bring a tiger to the game?
I think there's a tiger outside the stadium. I don't know if they bring a tiger to the game.
You gotta bring it inside.
Still, it's great.
I remember when I first got to Colorado and I first saw Ralphie. It was cool, right? Because you'd heard about it. But then as I walked by Ralphie's cage and I looked inside, I'm like, this is a live buffalo that they just bring out on a football field, and he runs like mad. And there's like 10 people hanging on for dear life, running with them on Folsom Field. This is great. This is fantastic. They brought a live steer. Bevo is a steer. It's fantastic. Ugg is just a bulldog. But nevertheless, there's a live steer at the Sugar Bowl, and it's got horns that are sharp, and it wanted to stab a dog.
If Texas is truly back, could they make a play for Knickers?
Yeah, totally make a play
Bring
for Knickers.
Bring that guy over here.
Oh, my
and
God.
Just be like, everything's
great.
Bigger in Texas.
Absolutely. You kidding? It's
no,
awesome.
I love that video. Yeah.
It's a great video.
Hey, was it foreshadowing?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's
maybe
a little precursor of what was going on. I mean, maybe even Georgia, the Bulldogs, like, we don't really want
to
be here either.
I need to look this up. I think Ugga belongs to a family. I don't think it belongs to the school. Like, I think there's a family that takes care of the Uggas over the years, and they bring them to the game. And then that's how it works. I don't think the school, like, I think Mike the Tiger at LSU is a school thing, and the animal department,
zoology
department does
yeah.
it. And Ralphie's the same way. There's like an organization in this Colorado school that takes care of Ralphie.
What about Bevo?
Make sure he's healthy.
Does Bevo have a home, or is Bevo
think Bevo, yeah, probably works for the, probably does, probably is property of the school and lets some students stay. But I think Ugga is actually a pet of some prominent family in Georgia. And then they bring, like, they make sure Ugga is at every game. I think that's how it works. I think that's what I saw in Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, anyway, that movie.
Because that's where you should get all your college football knowledge from, the Midnight Garden.
Well,
what is it?
I
don't even remember that movie.
Yeah, it's Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. It's based on, it's a thing in a savannah. And I think the family from that owns the Uggas is in. I'm going to look this up because I'm fascinated by it now. I talked myself into the fascination, but nevertheless, I'm fascinated by it. All right, we'll get into some NFL talk as well, as the playoffs are all set. And boy, what a heartbreaker it was for me. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM with Ron Culver and Tony D.